see all year. Waited a long time for Monday, September 12th, to roll around and start another year of Bible study here at Wake Crossroads. I'm so excited to get to walk through the book of Job and Philippians this year. Two very different books. Job, whose theme is suffering and the sovereignty of God. And I figured after about 16 weeks in Job, we'd need some rejoicing in Philippians. So we're going to take the spring and just rejoice in the book of Philippians. But my name is Kenny Getz, and I have the privilege of being a part of a group of folks here that help pull this Bible study together every year and every Monday night. It is one of the greatest honors I have in serving our Lord, is to be a part of doing that every year. So on behalf of Wake Crossroads and everybody here that helps pull this study together, welcome. We are so glad to see all of you, many returning faces and a lot of new faces this year. So we're excited to have all of you here. I hope you had a great small group time, great huddle time, getting to know your huddle leader, if you didn't know him or her before, and getting to know the new folks you're going to be spending a number of weeks with over the next 7-8 months together. So I thought I would start tonight. Let me tell you what we're going to do. First off, and I'm just going to share just a couple of brief introductory words, and then Dave Wakefield is going to come and lead us in a song. We'll find some hymnals just to kind of smatter about. We roll them down from upstairs, up here from downstairs on a cart, and so just share them around so everybody has one to look on when we sing. But Dave Wakefield is going to lead us, and Janie's going to play for us, and you'll see Dave and Greg Pittman sort of alternate from Monday to Monday to lead us in our worship, and then after we sing, Waylon Holt will come up and introduce us to the book of Job. And, but before we sing, I wanted to share a couple of verses with you from Scripture and just talk in general terms about studying God's Word together. I want to read to you the first 5 verses of Matthew chapter 7. And for many of you, this will be a pretty familiar passage. It's called the Transfiguration, but there are a couple of words in here I think that are just really special that I want to share with you tonight in the context of where we are. Let's start in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 17. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him, being Jesus. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, or 3 tents, 3 dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, while Peter was in the process of speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is where I get to do my Waylon Holden impression. I love it. For you guys who are new, this is a really cool part of Waylon's teaching style and stuff.
You going to talk about butterbeans?
Yes. No butterbeans here. Waylon is often very interactive in his teaching. If you're new, he doesn't call on you. He never says, okay, what do you think? And you think, you know, he'll ask you as a group and you get to volunteer. It's really cool how he does it. But this voice comes from heaven and has interrupted Peter, and he says something. Does anybody know what the voice says? This is my beloved son.
I am well pleased.
Great. That's what he says, right? There are 2 more words after that. He says 2 more words. What's that? Listen to him or hear him. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him, is what he says. And those are the 2 words I really want to hone in just for a couple minutes tonight. Because I know that's why you're here tonight. I know that's why you signed up for a Bible study. It's because you want to hear the Lord. You want to hear God. You want to hear what he has to say. And that's what you have the opportunity to do in this Bible study every single day. You have a study laid out before you, 6 days of study where you get to go down. You get to go, whether you do it first thing in the morning, whether you do it at lunchtime, likely, you get to go spend time with God, and you get to hear, you know. Real quickly, I just want to give you five really quick ways you're going to get to hear God in this study, okay? Number one is in the Word of God, in the Scripture. You're going to hear God when you open your Bible and you read the Word of God. Right here, this is the living Word of God. It is God revealed in written form right here. Everything you need to know about God, everything you need to know about yourself, everything you need to know about what you will face in life, you can find the answers to right here in God's Word, in me, God, in His Word. That's number one, is right here in the Scripture, in His written Word. Number two is through the person of God's Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches, although it doesn't really use the word Trinity, it teaches that God is a being that is three in one. He is God the Father, He is God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is God the Holy Spirit. If you have trusted Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, the Bible teaches that God has come to live within you, within us, in the form of the Holy Spirit. The Bible also teaches that one of the roles, one of the functions that the Holy Spirit does for us and performs for us is He helps us understand God's Word. So you're going to go meet God in His Word. You're going to hear Him in His Word. But the Holy Spirit has a very, very important role. So my strong, strong encouragement to you as a child of God, as you, if you don't know Jesus yet, you haven't accepted Him as your Savior, if you don't have that personal relationship with God, then this truth is still the same for you. When you sit down and open up God's Word, please, please, please start with prayer and say, God, I want to meet You in Your Word. I want to hear from You. Would You please help me to understand Your Word? God's Word, God the Holy Spirit is going to help me. And you know what? If you're like me, sometimes you'll read a passage of Scripture and you'll go, well, I prayed and I asked God to understand. I still don't understand. That happens to me all the time. I'll stop and I'll pray again two or three times. And it may be 2-3 days later. It may be later than that if God actually reveals that to me. But let God, in the person of the Holy Spirit, help you understand His Word. Number three, you're going to be able to hear God through the process of your small group discussions. You're all in a group with a very qualified leader who has committed himself or herself to work and to spend extra time to understand God's Word, to come together with you and facilitate a discussion to help bring out the truth of God's Word. You're also in a group with 10 to 15 other folks who have made a commitment, and you guys probably talked about this in your huddle tonight, that you guys have made a commitment. So, you know what, I'm going to do my lesson. I'm going to go meet with God daily. So when I come here on Monday nights, I can share with you what God taught me. Well, that is a very sharpening and helpful time. When you come together and spend time with 10 or 15 other folks and ask God to teach them, you're going to sit around for 40, 45 minutes and have those people share. And you're going to go, oh, that is awesome. That is wonderful. I didn't quite see it like that. But what a sharpening time to learn from other sisters in Christ or other brothers in Christ in your huddle, as your huddle leader facilitates that time of discussion. Fourthly, after we finish that, we're going to gather together. Hopefully we'll have lights in our sanctuary again next Monday night. We'll be in there. And you're going to have the privilege to sit and listen to Waylon Holden talk about the scripture passages that you have studied the week before. I know Waylon had the wonderful privilege to be in his Sunday school class. And Waylon loves God. Waylon loves God's Word. And this man just pours hours and hours of time into study and research and asking God to speak to him and asking God to help him relate that to us in our lives. And we get the opportunity to come and listen to Waylon on Monday nights for a few minutes after our small group discussions. Another opportunity to hear God, to hear from the Lord through His servant, through His messenger, Waylon Holden. And lastly, and I really want to encourage you to do this, every week when you leave here on Monday nights, Tuesday morning will start the first day of the next week of Bible study. And your first day's lesson will always be to begin by reading the notes and the commentary in your study book on what we've studied the week before. So this first week, we're going to study in the first chapter of Job. And next week, you're going to read commentary on the verses that we studied in the first part of Job, chapter 1, this week. So that commentary is written by an incredible author who has done a ton of research in the book of Job, in the book of Philippians, and has just wonderful insights into the scripture that we have been studying, that you're going to be studying. So do not miss that commentary. It's kind of like the final icing if you're building a cake, on that final presentation of that cake. It's the icing. It's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. You have God's Word. You have the Holy Spirit. You have your small groups. You have Whalen's lecture, and you have that commentary. We have incredible, incredible opportunities to hear, to hear God. I'm looking forward to hearing this year through the books of Job and the book of Philippians. So, again, thank you for being a part of this. I'm looking forward to it. I know you are too. And Dave Wakefield, you ready to come lead us in our team, Dave and Jamie?
Good evening. It's great to be back with you all again this year. I've been looking forward to it. I don't know if any of you paged ahead a little bit and looked at the number of questions and compared them this year with what we had last year. They're a lot less. So I think there's going to be a little bit less stress going through the week trying to get our lessons done. Each week we're going to try to pick a song or two that really goes along with the scripture that we're going to be studying. As I was thinking about going through the book of Job, we're going to learn a lot about God's character. We're going to learn about his sovereignty, about his love, his infinite wisdom. And one of the things we're going to learn too, that we seldom really know why God does things, why God allows things to happen to us a certain way. A lot of times we'll learn down the road, but sometimes we'll never learn, and it may be as we get into heaven. One thing that we can always trust though is that his decisions are always perfect. And that's what I think the book of Job is going to teach us. The first song we're going to sing tonight is in your hymn books, 435. And if you look at the words of some of these hymns, it really goes along with what we're going to be getting into in the book of Job. I want to give you a little bit of a history of how this song was written and what's behind the history of the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Irish-born Joseph Scriven was 25 years old, and he was engaged to be married. The day before his wedding, his fiancée died in a tragic drowning accident. Heartbroken, Joseph sailed from his homeland to start a new life in Canada. While in Canada working as a teacher, he fell in love again and became engaged to Eliza Roche, a relative of one of his students. Once again, Joseph's hopes and dreams were shattered when Eliza became ill and died before the wedding could take place. Already you're seeing the similarities between this man and what we're going to read about in the book of Job. Although one can only imagine the turmoil within this young man, history tells us that his faith in God sustained him. Soon after Eliza's death, Joseph joined the Plymouth Brethren and began preaching for a Baptist church. He never married, but he spent the remainder of his life giving all his time, money, and even the clothes off of his own back to help the less fortunate and to spread the love and the compassion of Jesus wherever he went. Around the same time that Eliza died, you're thinking Joseph's done with all the bad news? Joseph received word from Ireland that his mother was ill. He could not go to be with her, so he wrote a letter of comfort and enclosed one of his poems entitled, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Many years later, a friend was sitting with Joseph and he was very ill. During this visit, the friend was very impressed when he ran across his poems, including What a Friend We Have in Jesus. As a result of this visit, almost 30 years after this letter of comfort to his mother, Joseph's poems were published in a book called Hymns and Other Verses. Soon thereafter, noted musician Charles Converse put music to one of these poems, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. After Joseph Scriven's death, the citizens of Port Hope, Ontario, Canada, where he gave so much time, they erected a monument to commemorate his life. The seemingly sad and obscure life of one man resulted in so many lives being uplifted, both in his own time and for many years after, whenever the beautiful and comforting words of What a Friend We Have in Jesus were sung. So he thought he was going through a terrible thing that had no purpose. It's one of my favorite hymns. And I'm sure a lot of you like the hymn as well. So if you'll stand with me, we're going to sing 435, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Thank you.
thank you again for the awesome privilege we have to gather together in your house to hear your word. I just pray, Father, that your name would be lifted high, that your name would be glorified, that you would just give Waylon the words that he needs to speak and prepare our hearts to hear from you. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Dave, Janie. I'm gonna sit down tonight because the way I like to squirm around, I got all ideas. I'll end up in that corner when I get tripping over this stuff. So I think I would just sit right here tonight and try to lock my feet down and keep from moving around. But it probably won't be the norm for me. That's just not. I like to move around, like Kenny said. I appreciate the kind words Kenny had. Tell you a little bit about myself. Probably most of you know about me. I grew up here. I'm a local boy. I'm a homeboy. I'm from the crossroads. It's not many of us left. It's some of us left, but I've been here. I worked 30 years with the city of Raleigh as a firefighter. Yesterday is a day that really speaks to my heart. It's a brotherhood there that is just that, just a brotherhood. But you know, there's a brotherhood and sisterhood here. As I look around you as brothers and sisters in Christ. So family is family no matter what you do. And so we're family here as far as opening up to God's word this week or through this study. We are studying Job. And one thing that I always kind of say is, you know, Derek, what is it?
T-G-I-M.
Yep, T-G-I-M. Thank God it's Monday. You know, a lot of people, it's TGIF, but it's all about TGIM for me. Thank God it's Monday. We can open God's Word and look at it and share things about it. And so I'm looking forward to the study of Job. And tonight, if you're looking for me to really give you a big introduction on Job, I'm going to disappoint you because I'm not really going to kind of go there because the study writers that are in the book you have here, they do a wonderful job on just three pages of kind of laying out what Job's about. It really is. So I read and I thought, well, I can't add anything to that. I'll just kind of, they talk about the wisdom that you get out of the book of Job. They talk about the justice of God, you'll see when you read it. And they also talk about, you know, an unseen world. Job kind of lets us look at, you know, kind of what goes on between, we battle against the spirits of darkness, but that's kind of revealed to us too. I will share something with you that I thought was kind of special as far as to, if you've been in any of the lectures I've done before, it's a scripture that I use because I am no theologian. I don't have DR by my name, but I, as Kenny said, love the Word of God. Now, I will look at you, and as you're looking at me, it's a fact that you love the Word of God too. Because you're in here. You want to study God's Word. You want to open it. You want to look at it. You want to have it speak to you. So, you know, to say that I love the Word more than any of you, I would say that's not the truth. So I'm glad to see you here and have that love for God's Word. But listen to this, what John MacArthur says about the book of Job. And I'll quote, "The book of Job expressively illustrates Deuteronomy 29:29. Now, if you you know, I use Deuteronomy 29:29 to sometimes say, I don't know, you know. Like when you go talking about the sons of God when we were in Genesis, you know, and in that butterbean patch. And then when we were in Romans and we had those dump truck loads of doctrine and teaching that went on there. But Deuteronomy 29:29, anybody know how that kind of starts out? The secret things of belong to the Lord our God. So there's some things, you know, when we're studying this book of Job, we're going to say, whoa, what's going on there? But just remember Deuteronomy 29:29 and what John MacArthur says. It says that the book of Job really just illustrates the fact of, you know, just things that are just secret things that, you know, maybe some of them be revealed to us, but not everything. The point there is that a sovereign God has a plan. And he knows the purpose of that plan, despite what we or Job are really clueless about. Because we're kind of seeing, Job, really, where is this coming from? What is going on? And so I love that the way John MacArthur describes that. And so I'm going to kind of look at the Bible study tonight, just kind of the introduction, as the study of Job starts on September the 12th. That's today, the day after September 11th. Anybody know what September 12th, what it's recognized for? It's a national day. You should know. Excuse me?
Chocolate Day.
Well, I didn't have that, but but you know what? That's a good answer. I didn't know that. I think we do what now? I need to, so Laura, I might hear about that. She's going to say it's National Chocolate Day, and I missed out. That's not the one I had, but I'm glad. Thanks for letting me know that, Trish. Actually, I got this off a calendar that I have. It's Billy Graham, and it's National Day of Encouragement. Also Chocolate Day, but it's National Day of Encouragement, which I thought, isn't that ironic that that falls after 9/11, the National Day of Encouragement? And also we're studying a book, the book of Job, where there is tremendous suffering and tremendous adversity and where there needs to be tremendous encouragement. So that's kind of what I'm looking at, the National Day of Encouragement. If you kind of follow along as we kind of go along here, I thought, you know, we need to encourage one another. We really do. And I thought, this is how we're going to do it tonight. I want us to encourage one another with our personal thoughts about the book of Job. So I'm going to ask you a question. Remember, you're going to talk to me. That's the way I like to do this. You're not going to sit here and listen to me lecture and babble all night. I want to hear what you got to say. We meet in our little huddles and we get together and we share those things that God has said to us during the week. But, you know, my time, this is kind of my huddle here, opposite of the huddle that I'm in. It's a time for me to get feedback from each and every one of you. So here's my question. When you consider God's word on the book of Job, what one word comes to your mind about it? Now, by the way, secret things are two words. One word. One word. Now, I want to share something with you. I just not going to, and remember, I don't ask trick questions. I'm never going to put you on the spot. So I'm not going to say, John, what's your word? You know, it's just not what I do. I hope God speaks to your heart and says, this is what is on my heart, this one word. But I asked this question to somebody before I asked you, you know, to make sure it's just not a dumb question, or, you know, they say no question's dumb, but you've heard some of my questions. Yeah, they get that way. But they said, they paused for a minute, and their answer was nothing. That's what they, not that they said nothing, their answer was nothing. But then this is what I loved about that answer. The person that I asked said, you know, really, I don't know that much about the book of Job. So that would be my answer. That's a great answer. That is a great answer. You know why that's a great answer? Because it's an honest answer. The person told me honestly what they knew about the book of Job. There was nothing phony about it. It was the real deal. So when I'm going to give you a chance now. One word. And just kind of, you know, no kind of on top of one another. If a word comes to your mind, raise your hand and just, we're going to, just one, all right, Frank?
Sovereignty.
Okay. Love it.
Patience.
Trish.
Restoration.
Faith.
Humble.
Steve.
Acceptance.
Suffering.
Perseverance.
Libby.
Endurance.
David.
Righteous.
Karen.
Provision.
Bring it. I would stop right now, and Miss Alma Smith taught me about math, but if I was going to add this up, I'd say I'd heard about 19 answers, so it's a lot more of you out there. Not trying to put you on the spot, and maybe somebody done have already got your word, you know.
Power.
John.
Trial.
Trust.
Ooh.
Grace.
Test.
Lord.
Adversity.
Pain. Obedience.
Faithfulness.
There's a lot going on in the book of Job, isn't it? It really is. Huh?
Misinterpretation.
Whoa. I'm looking down here at these that I have, and there's not a lot. Of course, I had time to go through and write my onesies before I called on you. I really did. I had time to go write my onesies, you know, and y'all had those. But I'm gonna share a few that I wrote down that I didn't hear you say, and probably some of you may have had on your heart. I had friends. I had theologians. You know, those friends thought they were theologians. If you think about it. I had gains, losses. Husband, wife. Somebody said the Lord. I had wrote that down. Not Satan. By heaven. There was a couple things that it wasn't mentioned, and I kind of, really, it's kind of where, you know, I want us to kind of think about what we're, when we do this study. Nobody said life. We see Job was a real man. We see his life and encouragement. We think about Job, we think about a lot of discouragement, but encouragement, those two words, life and encouragement. And remember, what is today? What, the 12th? The National Day of Encouragement. So, you know, we need that encouragement. Here's my point. God's Word, as Kenny said when he was sharing those scripture, God's Word is life. And that's always encouraging. It really is. And how especially true that is in the midst of trial and suffering. From front row to back row, that applies to everybody in here. Trials and suffering. Some much more than others. Job, a tremendous amount. Listen to what the psalmist says. This is good stuff because remember, we're talking about encouragement. We're talking about life. We're talking about the Word. The psalmist says, turn my eyes from worthless things and give me life through your Word. The very thing Kenny was talking about standing up here, God's Word gives us life. And even Job is turning to God. He wanted a word from God in his suffering and his trials. He wanted to hear what is going on. And so, how did Job keep his life? How did he keep it? When Satan, remember, Satan accuses him. The accuser accuses Job. Whoa, bring it on then. What? So in other words, he kept his life because of what? The Word of God. Yes. Well, let's study God's Word. Now, if you had it, open it up. We're going to get started here. I told you we won't, but we will. Job chapter 2. And Liz has got the answer. Liz has the answer right there. Job chapter 2, verse 6. The first little episode of Satan's attack on Job just didn't quite work. Took everything away from him he could. Everything. Didn't work, though. Satan comes back, tries a second time. Well, I guarantee you, if you put this, take his health away, you know. Listen to what he said in verse 6. This is the Lord speaking to Satan. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life. Do you hear the word of God there? God's word commands Satan what he cannot do. He cannot take the life of Job. What did the psalmist say? Turn my eyes from worthless things and give me life through your word. God gives us life through his word. He spares Job's life because he tells Satan, you can't touch him. You know, the one thing Satan wants to do, has always wanted to do, he wants to alienate us from the Father. Go back to our study in Genesis when he tempted Adam and Eve. He wants to alienate us from the Father. That's his desire. He missed it on the first go around with Job, and so now he's coming back again. But we know how it's going to turn out. We're looking forward to the study. Satan, by the command of Almighty God, El Shaddai, His word, he could not touch Job. That's why we study this word, so it gives us strength, because Satan comes. We're looking at part of the study is about an unseen world. We battle against the spirits of darkness. Now that's encouraging when we understand where the life comes from, the life of God's word. Deborah's mom, Billy Broughton's been in the hospital, and went out there one day to visit Billy. She had more spunk than I did. She told him, she said, I told them I'd do whatever they wanted me to do out here as far as therapy. But if they hurt me, I was going to slap them. Sometimes you just got to tell them like it is now. You know, you just got to tell them. But we were standing there talking, and she said, you know, I'm not going to be a part of the Bible study. Even though Deborah, she'll sit down with me and we can go over it. She said, well, I want to share this quote that she said. She said, you know what I love about the Monday night Bible study? Hearing everyone else's answer and what God's word has said to them. How cool is that? That's exactly what Kenny was talking about up here earlier. That we get to hear what God is saying to Frank, or what God is saying to Faye, or what God is saying to John, what God is saying to Ray or Denise. You know, that's pretty special, because he's speaking to every one of us. Because every one of us, if we're born again, we're his children. And so, really, I'm kind of going to end it right there tonight. We're not going to get any deeper. Like I say, what they talk to you in your study on your introduction does a great job of getting us ready for the study of Job. And so my prayer is that we're all be encouraged by one another. And we know we're going to be encouraged by the Word of God. I want to close with us, and it's amazing how God does these things. September 12th, today's devotion. This is a devotion called Anchor Devotion. I've been having it now for about a year and a half. It's called Words of Life. The title of it today was Best Selling Book. I'm just going to read these two little parts out of it. With over 400 translations available and written in more than 2,000 languages, you like that, don't you, Billy? 2,000 languages, the Christian Bible remains the best-selling book of all time. Best-selling authors make money with each copy of their book that they sell. The Bible is the only book to turn that upside down. God doesn't grow richer. Listen to this right here now. This is where the meat is. As more Bibles are sold, but its readers sure do. The very thing what Kenny said, how rich we are when we open God's Word and let it speak to us, and we go through those who have prepared this study for us and enriching us. I'm going to finish it up. The power of the Word of God and the living Word, who's the living Word? Jesus. Jesus Christ is worth more than any earthly award. No publicist or agent is needed for this Bible. His Word goes out to the nations and is being signed by an author. We have the signature of Christ's life written in blood, saving your soul and mine. That's the privilege we have by opening God's Word and studying. I look forward to this study with you. I look forward to hearing what you have to say, the interaction. I'm probably going to be standing up next time, moving around a little bit, but just for safety's sake tonight, I thought you better sit down, baby. You better plan it, Waylon. Because I thought Kenny did a great imitation when he threw them arms out and got out here like this and went to ask me questions. I thought, good job, Kenny. Good job. Good job. I love you. Let's close in prayer. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for life that comes from the living Word. We praise you, God, for the great encouragement we find in it, in our times of suffering, in our times of trials, in our times of discouragement. And Father, the secret things do belong to you. And I say hallelujah to that. It would scare me to death if I knew all things. Lord, take us now. Open our hearts. Clear our minds. And make our souls thirst, Father, for the living word. God, we love you. And we so thank you for loving us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.